a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Misha Vandenberg. Coming up in the program. China has modified existing policies and launched a series of new measures to help build a unified market nationwide. In today's Biz Focus, we explore the intelligent transformation and digitalization of manufacturing in China. Today is World Environment Day. We take a closer look at the efforts this year, most of which are focused on finding solutions to the plastic pollution problem. The State Council of China has released an update on the current progress of constructing a unified national market. In April of last year, China issued guidelines for accelerating the construction of a unified national market. Yu Li has the details.
The document is believed to have great impact on China's economy in future decades. Now more than 1 year has passed, the officials say that progress had been made in multiple areas.
One of the primary objectives is to reduce regional market barriers and establish a fairer and more open domestic market overall.
We have conducted self-inspections across different regions to address policy measures that hinder the establishment of a unified market. As a result, several policies that impeded the unified market and fair competition have been abolished or rectified.
Officials have firmly committed to combating regional protectionism and administrative monopolistic practices.
We will accelerate the implementation of fair competition regulations, carry out targeted anti-monopoly enforcement in key sectors, and promote the seamless flow of goods and resources.
Meanwhile, officials from the Ministry of Commerce have emphasized that China's unified large market is globally open and will offer a more favorable environment and increased opportunities for all market entities, including foreign invested enterprises. China has implemented the dual circulation strategy, which prioritizes domestic circulation for economic growth and protection against external risks. Analysts believe that the establishment of a unified national market is considered crucial for the success of this strategy. Yu Li, CGTN, Beijing.
The data from the State Taxation Administration indicates that the unified market, which is currently in progress, has demonstrated its ability in boosting various aspects of business connectivity. Specifically, it has greatly improved interprovincial trade sales with an average annual growth rate of 12.8% from 2017 to 2022, surpassing the national sales revenue growth rate by 1 percentage point. On top of that, the unified market has enabled a stronger allocation of innovation and information resources, with Beijing and Shanghai playing a catalytic role in this progress. Sales of interprovincial science and technology services registered a remarkable annual growth rate of 28% during the same period. Finally, the unified market has benefited transportation and logistics with an annual growth rate of 7.2% in the trade value of the industry. Now, for more discussions on China's initiatives to build a unified national market, we're joined by Liu Zhiqin, Senior Fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. Hi there, Professor Liu. So first, could you tell us more on China's efforts to create this integrated market?
I should say 1 year before the central government has decided to build up the UNM, that is the unified national market. This is a very important step to promote China's economic development to face new challenges and uncertainties globally and domestically. I think three jobs that they have already done or performed very well. Firstly, that they have already lay out all these roads to how to build up this UNM. This is very important, how to go further, which is the priority which can be followed. So this roadmap is very important to build up. And secondly, they build up the social consensus that with all different levels of government, because we know that this mechanism or this decision will have some impact on the local governments, on local authorities. So how to make a social at all levels that the consensus to make joint efforts to build up such a market. This is a very important priority to the successful. And the third is that they have already encourage the local governments enthusiasm, because enthusiasm is a very basic requirement to build up such a unified market in China. If the local government, they can know that what benefits they can do it and from this market, I think they will do their best to finish and to build up all this new unified national market. This is a very important step. All these things have been already put out in the service list, for instance, IPO, agriculture in farmers, and also second-hand automobile handles market, also in electricity distributions. All these measures have been already used to the unified national market.
Great. Thank you so much for your insights. Please stay with us, Professor Liu, for more discussions later in the program. The Taixing Purchasing Managers Index, or Taixing PMI, a private sector survey, was released earlier on Monday. Our Juju is in our studio with more details. Juju.
Thank you, Michelle. The Taixing Purchasing Managers Index, or Taixing PMI, a private sector survey, was released earlier on Monday. The Taixing PMI indicates that China's services sector activity picked up in May. China's services PMI rose to 57.1, 0.7 percentage points higher than in April, which is the second highest rating since December 2020, pointing to the continued recovery in the services sector. The 50-point mark on the index is the threshold for separating expansion and contraction of sector activity. Meanwhile, the Taixing Composite PMI, which tracks both manufacturing and services activity, increased to 55.6 in May from 53.6 in April. It marks the fastest expansion since December 2020. The employment index of the service industry slightly decreased in May, but still remained within the expansion range, having stayed above 50 for the fourth consecutive month. And in May, the service industry's gauge for expectations fell for the fourth consecutive month, dropping to its lowest level for the year, although it still remained higher than the 2022 average. Finally, the prices charged by service companies saw the most significant increase since February 2022. And to further stimulate the services sector's growth, digital tools are playing an increasingly significant role. Despite this, experts claim that the adoption rate of digital technologies is still relatively limited and have called for more policy backing to boost growth. With service industry jobs accounting for over half of total employment by 2025, however, there is a significant gap in the digital transformation of the sector, with less than 1% of companies capable of achieving this development.
In terms of scale, enterprises in the service industry generally belong to small and medium-sized enterprises. They usually haven't the vision and awareness to do digital transformation.
He added that policies are vital to help smaller-sized companies in the services sector achieve digital transformation.
Policies stimulate digital service providers to target SMEs as their clients. The first is to call for digital service providers to give more consideration to providing essential digital services to small and medium-sized enterprises, raising digital awareness and cultivating digital capabilities.
The Chinese Academy of Social Sciences Institute of Finance and Economics recently published a research report on the concept of digitalization for China's service industry. The report urges the market to provide more comprehensive digital solutions that can aid companies in achieving digitalization and drive the growth of the sector. Juju, CGTN, Beijing.
So that's all from me, Michelle. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Juju, for the breakdown of the latest services PMI data. Now, for more discussion on China's services sector recovery, let's welcome back Liu Zhiqin. So, Professor Liu, the services PMI in May, as we just saw, showed very impressive growth. Can you comment on the contributing factors, particularly the impact of the recent Labor Day holiday? And do you think this momentum is expected to continue in the long run?
Yeah, this is a very good question, because I have discussed this question several times. You know, you are right, this figure is quite impressive, the service PMI in May. So, but the Labor Day holiday effect is not so decisive. As I know that they have some other reasons that we have so-called services PMI in May. First is that the orders for export has been really increased, not only in the catering or some food industry, but also in the some software industry, for instance, AI and also communications, especially for this communications transportation transfer also has been greatly increased and improved. So it made that this plays a greater role that in the whole service industry. So labor is catering, traveling, and accommodation something, but not the main reason. So I hope that, that in the rest of the time of the year that we will play better, a significant role that to support the economic development, especially in some software industry, AI innovation, smart technology, for instance, also in transportation, renovation in this way. So we can have a better sharing opportunity with other global market.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for your insights. We really appreciate your time. Liu Zhiqin, Senior Fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. It's time now for our special series, Biz Focus, where our anchors and reporters take a closer and deeper look at some of the most dynamic business sectors in China. In this edition, we explore the intelligent transformation and digitalization of manufacturing in China.
Welcome to this edition of Biz Focus. I'm Zhen Jufeng. China is known as a world manufacturing hub, but what is not known to many is that the country is embarking on an intelligence transformation and digitalization path, especially in the fields such as automation. In 2021, the number of industrial robots in China grew by over 44%, setting a new record and accounting for half of the global total. Since 2015, the robotic industry density in China rose from 50 to around 250 robots per 10,000 workers, and that number is expected to reach 500 by 2026. This transformation will only accelerate as robots are getting more intelligent, capable, and easier to operate. Watch how I interacted with a robot at an ABB plant in Xiamen. Biz Focus, feeling China's economic pulse. I'm Zhen Jufeng at ABB plant in Xiamen. In industrialization, electricity or power is central in this whole process. Look at these circuit breakers. They're very important management tools in those electricity use in industrial centers, in infrastructure, in homes, in office buildings. All these facilities now can be made through automation, further reducing energy consumption and raise energy efficiency. Let me show you how.
Meet the gentle monster. It's gentle as it can handle the smallest screws. It's a monster as it can lift huge metal structures effortlessly. It's agile as it can move in every direction and with exceptional accuracy. It's also smart, constantly learning by taking photos of panel layouts to improve its assembly efficiency.
I try to understand how this works. Imagine this is a computer masterboard and you're putting CPUs and all these equipment and parts on it. What this robotic arm does is very similar, putting different parts and wires on this circuit breaker or switch gear that could normally take 4 to 5 workers to work for hours.
After extensive testing and programming, engineers have designed a fully automated system that is capable of assembling customized products with just a push of a button.
Now I've been given the honor to launch this robotic arm to let it work on the next stage. Oh, it has started.
According to an executive at ABB, the technology upgrades of automation in manufacturing are limitless. The only limits are those we set ourselves.
In the past, we used robots mostly for automotive or in mobile phone assembly. But today we can combine it. We're doing some of the small integration and assembly, but also putting that into bigger units and sort of switch gear, as we talked about, that can be the size of a car. This combination of technologies together with digital, that we are able to do things from remote and being able then to show customers and show them opportunities without being the need of travel, all of this together gives that opportunity of using automation for even more innovation.
I mean, with this equipment, the ABB factory in Xiamen can raise its productivity by 50%, reduce its floor occupied by 31%, and reduce its, default problems by 30%. It's just so much better
with artificial intelligence, with robotics, with Internet of Things. And this is a trend China is trying to boost through its total manufacturing industry.
China's leading in the world in intelligence and digital manufacturing. According to the World Economic Forum's Lighthouse Initiative, China has more advanced factories than any other economies in the world, with 50 Lighthouse factories out of the world's total of 132. China's complete industrial chain and business-friendly policies and hard-working local talents are helping these countries to flourish in the country. And I recently visited a Mondelez factory in Suzhou to see how a Lighthouse factory makes Oreo biscuits.
You could hardly find workers in the world's most advanced biscuit factory. To understand how it works, I asked an engineer to show me how Oreo biscuits are manufactured with a fully automated system. Step 1. Materials such as wheat flour are brought in by automated guided vehicles, or AGVs. The sensors on these vehicles ensure they can follow programmed routes. Step 2. The filling is put in the production line. Sensors will tell the system when the filling is running out and needs a refill. Step 3. The filling is squeezed onto already baked cookies to make sandwiches. What a clever process design, and look how fast they work. Step 4. The finished biscuits are blown dry and put in order. Robot arms pick random samples to measure their weights, which should be almost the same. Step 5. The biscuits are sealed in bags, put in small boxes, and packed into bigger boxes. In a fully automated belt line, everything is done by robots.
By employing artificial intelligence, 3D printing, digital twins, Internet of Things, automatic guided vehicles, and other advanced technologies, the Mondelez factory in Suzhou on-time delivery rate has improved by 18%, while lead times have come down by 32%. Use of high-end technologies has helped the company improve its market share from 23% to 28%.
During the upgrade to a Lighthouse factory, we greatly improved operation efficiency, product quality, and employee skills, as well as their income.
Tell us the significance of upgrading your Suzhou factory to a global Lighthouse network factory.
Overall, we've invested 350 million RMB over the past 5 years. And as a consequence of those investments, we're able to drive product quality, productivity, our sustainability, and our supply chain resilience.
The Mondelez factory is the third WEF Lighthouse factory so far in the Suzhou Industrial Park after Bosch and AU Optronics. A director of the park says intelligent transformation and digitalization is a top priority for the industrial park.
Our industrial park has many global manufacturers such as Bosch and AU Optronics that are leaders in intelligent transformation and digitalization. We encourage them to share their experiences with small and medium-sized companies to boost the overall technology levels of manufacturing industry in Suzhou.
Now let's get more on the ongoing digitalization and automation efforts in China with our reporter Zheng Junfeng in the studio with me. So Junfeng, first, give us a summary of your experiences in these like highly automated factories. What was it like?
It's just mind-blowing. It's a very refreshing, a learning experience to learn that how many stuff in our daily life have been now totally manufactured by robots without any intervention with the human repetitive labors. Imagine how many hours of repetitive labor can be saved from this, and people can use all the time to do other innovative work. And it's so clean. It's been noisy in some places, but the engineers would take shifts.
Right, so and consistent, right?
Yes,
all
very
the products
consistent.
Are very consistent.
Very consistent, very safe, mm-hmm. and these engineers just keep pushing forward the edge of the technology. So the know-how, so how the details are incorporated in all these manufacturing keep being updated. You're actually seeing two ways of making products. One is the belt line, the products are finished at different stages along the line with different machines. The other is a single area, singled out area, when an automatic arms, a group of them work together to finish a huge product.
So you don't even need people to stir anymore. Everything is automatic,
yes.
Robot arms.
You just put in a frame, then all the parts were assembled by one or two arms.
But there's also some negative impacts, for example, on these repetitive workers' careers, right? For how is it impacting the workforce?
Of course,
and all these
you have to
jobs?
You know, take care of these the benefits of the workers, because on one hand you think that these factories with automation do not need so many workers anymore. It's true that many workers being made redundant, about 20, even to 80% of them have been made redundant, but the rest of them who can stay, mm-hmm. Have been upgraded to engineers. They engage with the machines. They do not need to really do the repetitive, painful work for hours, you know, without really learning anything. But now they are operators of machines. They are operators of all these engineers, programmed softwares, mm-hmm. which are very good learning experiences for them. And their income have been totally improved. And the rest of them, I think they can totally go to other jobs with
yeah.
more innovation, with more designs. It saves people repetitive labor. I think it's a good thing in the long run.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of retraining needs to be done for them to acquire other skills and do more innovative works, I
guess.
Yes,
that's of course the challenge
yeah.
for the whole manufacturing industry.
And speaking of future prospects, are you seeing a more accelerated change in this whole automation process?
Of course, totally accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned by ABB Research, saying that China's robot density is improving very fast in the world, probably one of the fastest economy with increasing industrial robot density, but
mm-hmm.
it's still lagging behind many developed economies like G7 economies, meaning that there's so much room to grow in automation in China. We talked that China is leading the world in these intelligence transformation, digitalization, but actually that only happens in about 20% of its manufacturing capacity. 80% of manufacturing in China is still very dense
mm-hmm.
in labor power, in traditional manufacturing process that needs lots of injection of both capital, talent, training and local policy support.
So still a lot of room to grow.
Of
so
course.
What do you think are some of the measures are now in place to support the transformation? What still needed to be done?
I just mentioned a little bit, the government report is definitely needed.
Mm-hmm.
Also there should be schemes where big companies with technology edges can help less developed companies, not necessarily in the same industry with competition problems, but also maybe the whole industry, like Suzhou Industrial Park has been pushing, asking those companies with global leadership in technology to help local small and medium-sized companies to acquire the know-how to innovate in their own technology area
mm-hmm.
that has no contradiction or collision with those foreign companies. So it lifts the whole industrial capability of the area.
Great,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Great insights. It seems like really fun to visit these
yeah,
factories too,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely, you should do that.
Yeah, I'll probably go check it out sometime. Thank you so much, Junfeng.
Thank you.
World Environment Day is a global event celebrated annually on June 5th to promote environmental awareness and action. This year's theme, Beat Plastic Pollution, aims to reduce the amount of plastic waste on the planet. Organized by the United Nations Environment Program, the event encourages all nations to take steps toward combating plastic pollution. Our reporter Olivia He has more.
World Environment Day is around the corner, and this theme is all about tackling plastic pollution. With this in mind, let's see how much people know about reducing plastic waste.
So one of the things I do personally is that I bring my own bag when I go grocery shopping.
When we go to the coffee shop, we can bring our own bottles and instead of using their plastic cups.
I use paper straw rather than plastic straw.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of the World Environment Day event, which serves as a reminder of the urgency in addressing environmental pollution. During the event, the resident coordinator of the United Nations in China drew attention to the alarming rate of plastic waste, with an estimated 8 million tons ending up in the ocean each year, resulting in environmental damage and health risks. In particular, microplastics have infiltrated the food chain and pose a threat to living organisms, including humans.
To manage the issues of plastic pollution, we need comprehensive changes that cover the entire life cycle of plastics, from production to consumption to recycling, including using alternative materials, improving product design, and recycling processes.
Turehe stressed that everyone, from industries to consumers, should be involved in proposing innovative solutions to tackle plastic waste.
It's a time to transit to a circular economy, where plastics are recycled, repurposed, and reintegrated into the production cycle. As the biggest producer and exporter of plastics in the world, China plays a unique role in driving the transition to a circular economy for plastics globally.
In 2020, the Chinese government announced a significant plan to prohibit or significantly reduce the production and use of environmentally harmful plastic products, reduce plastic waste in major cities, and implement an integrated plastic management system by 2025.
China has already taken steps to decrease the use of disposable plastic products in various sectors. This includes sectors such as retail, e-commerce, catering, accommodation, and exhibitions. With World Environment Day 2023 focusing on the urgent need to tackle plastic pollution, individuals and businesses alike need to rethink their use of single-use plastics.
During this World Environment Day, the message is pretty simple. Reject single-use plastic and refuse what you can't reuse. Basically, that means if you can't reuse it, then refuse using it. Olivia He, CGTN, Beijing.
And that will do it for this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. I'm Michelle Vandenberg in Beijing.